It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond, along with Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you, man?
Going on, Dave. How are you doing on this Sunday night?
I am fantastic. Sports free. It's just it's so free not have sports right now. And I'm, of course, being sarcastic. How are you, Bubba Rosenbaum?
Doing well. Living the dog years myself.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much that my life revolved around sports until they're taken away. But anyway, we still have one of our good friends who I think we're going to have to change the name of his podcast, and we'll talk about that. With us right now, the play-by-play voice of the ECU baseball program, and that will be Corey Gore. How are you, man?
Good evening, gentlemen. We are day 10, 11, 40. I have no idea how long we are into social distancing and isolation, but I hope you guys are maneuvering it decently here.
Yeah, it feels very weird. I was going to tell you, Corey, I think we're going to change the name of the show. Can we change it to from extra innings to no innings? Because we don't have any innings to really talk about.
Well, I mean, extra innings is no longer applies, certainly. So yeah. I'll leave the creative decisions up to you, gentlemen, as to what you want to do with the title of our meetings now. But no, unfortunately, extra innings came to a pretty abrupt halt.
Garden talk with Corey Gore.
No, this is not going to be a good podcast.
No,
it's going to be a great podcast, Corey. Come on, man. You got a positive attitude. Go drink a couple of Coronas, rim shot.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wish I had money because Corona beer, when this whole thing is over, people are going to feel sorry for them and they're going to buy a whole bunch of Corona.
Yeah, I can hear that their sales are down because of this.
40%.
Yeah.
Which is really crazy.
That just makes no sense at all.
No, but it just shows you there's legit part of this whole situation, and there's a phenomenon. There's two separate things going on at the same time. There's people that are buying, you know, I was laughing, Corey, yesterday I was in Greenville, and by the way, folks, if you're looking for toilet paper in Greenville at the Walmart, it's now in layaway. So I had to take my daughter. She asked me to go to the bathroom, so I take her to the bathroom, come out, they're in layaway, and the dude spoke to us, so I said, hey, can I put some toilet paper on layaway? He started laughing, like, but it's like, why is the toilet paper in layaway? But that just tells you how sad our country is that people are worried about toilet paper.
Well, that's also, the layaway section, Dave, is also where you do online pickups. So if someone ordered it.
No, it's not. No, it's the pickup is at the front at this one.
Well, in Kinston, we're in the back where the layaway area is.
Okay.
I think everyone's trying to find the target here in their personal lives as to preparation and concern and sensibility in a time where no one's really experienced anything like this before. So it's ridiculous that a shortage of toilet paper is very prevalent right now, but I'm also not terribly surprised here over the last couple of weeks of some of the things that we've been seeing.
Well, what about as far as, I guess we can talk some sports stuff. I want to get your reaction. I know that it's got to be very hard. We think the world of Cliff and everybody with a baseball program, all the sports. I just want to get your, I guess the best way to start it off is, do you think it's reasonable to, I think it was reasonable to postpone the season, but where I'm trying to dissect it as fairly as possible. I think it's fair to postpone the season for a few weeks to see how things go, try to control everything with all the crowds and all that stuff. But to cancel the whole season, I think is extreme. That's where I'm struggling with, and I think Coach Godwin and I can agree on that.
I can't speak for Cliff, nor would I. He and I have interacted briefly ever since this all went down. I don't know where he stands personally. For me, I had the feeling when we were coming back from the game in Wilmington, a week and a half ago, last Wednesday, which turned out to be the last game of the year. I know it feels like forever ago. But the last game of the season, as it turns out, was that one. And when, this all started, frankly, we're here, I think, because of what happened at the NBA. And once I saw that, it was right when, frankly, I was signing off in Wilmington and got to the bus, and then I opened up Twitter and I saw that Adrian Wojnarowski tweet that the NBA suspended the season. I knew we were heading down a path that was going to take a long time to get back to normal. You're seeing a lot of people now with a little bit more intel and more with their pulse, their finger more on the pulse of what's happening, imploring people to stop gathering and stop events and stop meeting in public. And so it was the only natural conclusion for this to go. Once everything unfolded two Wednesdays ago, this was the end result. So I'm not surprised. Of course, I'm disappointed. I'm crushed that we're talking about this right now. It's also the right call to make. It was because the thing about, I mean, the NBA hasn't canceled, NHL hasn't canceled, you know, Major League Baseball is delaying. They can afford to do that. They can push restarts or starts back because they are a professional sports organization. You are bound by pretty strict calendar rules in college sports, and you can only push so far before you say it's just not going to happen. And with what happened in the NBA and then the NCAA saying we're canceling all championships just a day later, that was it. It was just a matter of time before the conferences all followed suit. It's the unfortunate right call to make in this scenario, and it's one that I hope, because it reached that extreme, more and more people are treating this with the level of seriousness that it needs to be treated with.
I'm just worried about, though.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to make a point. I'm just worried about the, not for us, because we're hardcore, but I'm just worried about the people. For instance, let's say this goes on and there's no football season. I don't know how far it's going to go. Let's just throw that out.
Don't say that, you son of a bitch.
Well, I mean, I know you're being tongue in cheek there, Kyle, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a point that you have a point that you're starting with already. I mean, we could be heading down that path. We have no idea.
No.
Just how long this will go.
No, what I'm saying is if it goes down, I'm not saying I want that to happen. I'm saying if it does, my concern is, for example, for ECU, let's point out there's several storylines you can go. One is for me locally with East Carolina. I'm worried about my sports program, my alma mater, because the football program is where the money comes for a lot of the sports. It's the sport that we need to, the term that's been used ad nauseum is healthy. We have Mike Houston, who I feel like is a great coach, who the program's heading in the right direction. And for my concern is financially speaking, as far as the program is concerned, if we have another year where we don't have people in the seats, I mean, my gosh, we already have five straight losing seasons. It's going to get to the point where I'm worried, Corey. The big picture for all of sports is, will people still care about all the sports? We will, as far as the hardcore, diehard people. But there's an element there that are more casual that we need to come to the games and follow the sports more. And if we don't have them, that's not going to be good.
Dave, I think I think as far as you're worrying about people not caring about sports anymore, I think after all this crap's over, people are going to be so hungry.
I hope
to see
so.
Sports.
Totally.
You know, I do think there's a concern of right now for me, for the football program, two concerns. One is season ticket sales. I would imagine nobody's buying season tickets right now. We're just barely above where we were last year, and tickets went on sale in December, and last year they went on sale in March. And we're just barely above where we were last year. That tells me there's a lull right now in season ticket sales. And this is what should be the hot period from now through May. And so I think that's troubling. I would imagine, you know, nobody's going to buy them until this thing dies down and they're sure the season's going to happen. And the other thing I'm concerned about with football is spring practice. Or, you know, some schools can get by without having a spring practice, you know, your LSUs, your Alabamas, et cetera, and even some schools more so in the American. But East Carolina right now with not a lot of depth, particularly on the O-line and D-line, and some young players coming in trying to develop depth, we need spring practice.
I'm completely with Kyle, especially for the first point. And it's going to be like this for not just the ECU athletic department. I mean, you're talking about thousands upon thousands of different types of businesses and industries that are having similar concerns, depending on how long this will go. You're right, the season ticket sales for football are a little bit up from what they were at this point a season ago, but with a lot of people now that will be sitting at home, and a lot of businesses are temporarily closing or some shutting down or laying people off. We've seen it around the country already. The amount of expendable income is going to be down and going to be down for a while whenever this finishes up. The first things first, and that getting rid of COVID-19 is the first matter at hand. And then once that gets figured out, finding a way to bounce back everything that's going to get lost here in the financial sector, and that includes ticket sales for athletic events. Like that will be a stiff challenge. ECU will not be alone in that. The interest will be there, Dave, whether it starts back up normally coming August or God forbid there's even more delay with everything that's going on here and it keeps getting pushed back and we have to keep on waiting. The interest will be there. If there's one thing that this community and this fan base has shown, that they will be there. It's where we sit by that point that will dictate a lot of things and just how much money we all have in order to do it. That's the biggest thing right now. And we are so early in this that we just don't know what it's all going to look like come July when, you know, things will try to get started back up. That's the calendar for fall sports, especially for football, is July. I mean, all spring stuff is on the shelf. They haven't officially canceled the spring game. It's just off the date that it was on. But that seems unlikely to happen. There's a lot to figure out, but the first things first, we all kind of got to do our part here to try and get rid of this thing so that we can then start answering those questions more concretely.
I think Corey, bottom line, go ahead, Bubba.
Corey, this last week, Kyle, if you have a follow-up point, go ahead. I was kind of...
Yeah, I do. If you're going to change subject. I think bottom line is, come August, if we're still having to push things back and we can't play football, that probably means things got really, really bad over the next few months, and football probably the least of our concerns.
Yeah, there will be far more important things to deal with than, you know, worrying about a lack of depth on the football roster and not having enough practices under the belt. If we're still discussing things, like if we're still in isolation, if we're still in quarantine through the summer here, then there are far greater things that we all need to be worried about, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, Corey, what I was going to bring up, you were sitting in for Patrick Johnson this last week. Really enjoyed listening to you every afternoon at 5 on 94.3 The Game on the Patrick Johnson Show, and you had some terrific guests on, a couple of which were Mike Oresko, the commissioner of the American, and then also Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball. And one of the topics you talked about with those guys is just the eligibility issue. So not only what they said, but just your own thoughts on what are you feeling towards the eligibility, not only for the spring sports, and then winter pretty much got shut down.
Yeah, winter's not going to happen. An extra year for winter, it won't be happening. The NCAA did announce that.
Right.
And that's, unfortunately, I feel like we're going to use that word a lot in this discussion here. That was the correct call for winter sports because a lot of winter sports were already done. Or right. In basketball's case, and hockey is not here at a D1 level, but they're just waiting for postseason by that point. So granting an extra year of eligibility for players, for student athletes, were what they were missing, pales in comparison to what spring sport athletes were going to miss. That That was the correct call to make. Nobody really seems to have a firm grasp as to what's going to happen with the spring sports athletes, other than in some capacity, an extra year of relief will be out there for at minimum some of them. What the NCAA released was that it would be for everybody, and then the rumor mill from around college baseball circles seems to be that might not be the case. I have my opinion, and it's going to be a complicated effort, but they have to get it all. But they have to allow every single student athlete in spring sports to have an extra year if they want it. It's going to be messy. It's going to take a lot of adjusting in terms of the financials of these sports, the roster sizes, what scholarships are allowed and allotted. But that's what has to be done. You cannot say only seniors, especially when you're talking about baseball and you have guys at a junior class level that are looking at professional baseball potentially this year, and now uncertainty about where that might sit. The NCAA has to be in front of this year and stand by their initial statement that everybody's going to get an extra year if they want it. They don't have to take it if they don't want. If there are seniors or juniors that are ready to go to pro ball and they don't want an extra year, then they don't need to have it. But you have to extend it to everybody, not just in baseball, but softball, tennis, lacrosse, golf, all the spring sports that exist around the country. And the NCAA is going to have to swallow some cash and swallow some pride maybe a little bit here as well. But they have to do it. They can't put all the major unintended consequences of all of this on the student athletes strictly.
Yeah, and you want to talk about, Corey, you want to talk about a complete disaster. The NCAA is a punchline, like, waiting to happen every time, you know, you turn around. And if they don't do the right thing here, they're supposedly doing, let's be honest here. I'm going to put it out there. They say they're doing everything they can to protect the student athlete. If that's true, then you took away the season, not because of punishment. You took away the season to protect the athlete, which means that you should give them another year. End of story, move on. Yes, we have to work out logistics, but we're in uncharted waters. You hear that term all the time. And I just feel like that, why would you go back on your word when you pulled the plug on a season to supposedly do the right thing? So now it's time to do the right thing for those student athletes.
Yeah, the NCAA is rarely direct with a lot of the things that they do over the years. They have been very forward with some of the calls that they have made over the last week and a half. Very blunt and very, very pointed. And it's great to see when they released the statement of last Friday that everyone in spring sports would get an extra year. They have to stand by that. And so the stuff right. that I've heard from D1 baseball that we're seeing from Kendall Rogers and Aaron Fitt about coaches right now seem to think it might only be for seniors, that they can't walk this one back. This is not rescinding titles due to a punishment. You hit on it, Dave. We're in a weird spot right now, and the NCAA can right some of their own organizational wrongs here by actually doing this and standing by it, allowing all of these sports to expand their rosters out so incoming classes don't have any sort of disruption.
Right.
It will be a problem. There's no way around it. Not just for 2021, but you're talking about a multi-year ironing out process, whatever happens here. But this has to happen, and you can't wait for Major League Baseball to make a decision on their near future to force your hand. You've got to do it. You've got to do it yourself, and you've got to follow what Division II just did. They announced that everyone's getting one. And you need to do it, and the sooner you can announce it and stand firm by it, then the better.
And you mentioned about expanding out the rosters, and then you mentioned something Gilbert talked about where, you know, you're funding more scholarships at the university if you expand the rosters, and then you got kids on partial scholarships do their parents want to pay for another year of school, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah, that's why, I mean, you go back to you don't have to make an extra year mandatory. Like,
right.
if guys don't want to take it, then guys and gals don't have to take it. But the only spring sport that ECU has that is full scholarship is women's tennis. But I mean, we talk a lot about the baseball and the 11.7 scholarships spread across 35 players. Both of those would need to expand.
Yes.
And they would have to expand not in a half measure, but I mean, you're talking about expanding roster sizes out to 50 when you're talking about incoming classes, and that's assuming everyone that you have on your roster comes back for another year. And then you got an incoming class of high schoolers and JUCO guys, and they're all been allotted, some of them, scholarships in their own right, plus the ones they already have on your books. So it's the NCAA, I think the way to make this work is that the NCAA is not only going to have to sign off on all of it and say every sport, every player gets an extra year, but they might have to step in here and help fund this. And it's going to be painful for the NCAA to relinquish some of their cash, especially not having the basketball tournament, which is a huge cash cow for them. But a lot of people and a lot of industries, almost everyone's going to be taking pretty big hits, unfortunately, financially moving forward. And the NCAA is not going to be alone in this, but to try and make a little bit good over everything that's happened here that was out of their control, there's a chance to do something really good here for the hundreds of thousands of spring sport athletes that are under the NCAA's umbrella. They just got to do it right.
And not only that, but you could add the fact that this is the sometimes bad thing. There is a silver lining here. We've been complaining about the lack of scholarships when it comes to baseball. Here's a perfect chance to up the number to help out the situation. And then moving forward, you can have that same number. I'm not saying have the number of players of 50 players, but what would you say, Corey, would be fair? If it's 35 guys, would 23 be fair? I mean, I don't know the right number, but 11.7 is definitely not enough for Division I college baseball like East Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, the right number for let's do hypothetical. Let's say you do a max of 50 now for a roster, just hypothetically. I would love to see 25
okay.
scholarships allotted for baseball, half of the roster. 11.7 for 35 is – if you're around the sport, you know how insane that is, how just ridiculously small of a number that is. If you can get to half, and then once you start the process of playing out a year, and then maybe whittling down the roster size after one season, and keep maybe even going back down to 35 after a few years, keeping things at, you know, keeping a scholarship number at 25, or if you want to drop that down to 20 as you knock down a roster size, there's an opportunity for the NCAA to actually kind of pull out the eraser here on a pretty egregious mistake in the world of college baseball. Are they thinking that long term? I can't imagine, right, with everything that's happening right now. There are a lot of short term concerns. There's a chance here for the NCAA to actually do something about something that's been a pretty massive oversight in their sports for a long time.
And something else about those 11.7 scholarships, I mean, this has been in place for several years now, but it used to be several years ago that those 11.7 could be divided up however the staff chose, if I recall correctly, but I think now it's either 25 or 33%.
It's 25%.
A player can't get less than 25%.
Yeah, and so it limits one out of the number of players you're going to give scholarships to, or limits the amount of money you're giving to each player. Like, and everybody's different. There are so many hurdles to jump over here when it comes to this specific situation. There's no question about it. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of young kids' livelihoods right now, and millions of dollars both at the organizational level and at the school level. These are no small decisions here, and it's easy for myself to sit here and speak from my point of view about what should happen. There are bigger things at play here, but the NCAA does have the capability of pulling something like this off, and not just for baseball. Baseball is the biggest of the sports in spring and gets the most focus, but every sport down the line, like, they do have the ability to do it. It's just whether or not they are trepidatious about how much money it may cost in order to pull it off.
And Corey, a few minutes ago you brought up the NBA when we were talking about the whole coronavirus outbreak and how the NBA was kind of leading the way in terms of suspending their season.
Yeah, wasn't the Ivy League the first to do it before anybody?
Well, that was the first domino on that Wednesday. I mean, and we were on the bus to Wilmington, and that's when we saw on Twitter that the Ivy League canceled their spring season. And Columbia was the next opponent on the books. And suddenly there was a weird, a very calm but slightly chaotic feeling on the front of the bus where the coaching staff sits, reaching out to other teams who lost opponents and suddenly scrambling to try and find an opponent. That was what the front of the bus is trying to do for the last 40 minutes of that bus ride. And so it was the Ivy League, that they went and canceled their basketball tournament before anybody else, and then they immediately cut spring sports on that Wednesday. They're smart. That's why they're where they are.
But I don't think they care anything about sports. So, I mean, it doesn't hurt them to cut sports. That's just my opinion.
And the NBA sure does. They care about money.
Yeah, I mean, but the Ivy League, certainly what they did hit home early to us, and that was the first sign that, like, all right, things are going to get a little bit off here. But we were thinking when we were in Wilmington just talking, it was either going to be they would scramble and find someone for the weekend, or suddenly there was going to be an open couple of days. It never reached the point of the season was going to hit pause.
The first thing I remember hearing about anything being canceled, and it wasn't even athletic related, but it was university related, that Tuesday, before everything started going on Wednesday, before the Ivy League announced they canceled their basketball tournament, our Duke had a extended spring break, and then was going to be moving classes online. And I thought, oh, my God, is it getting that serious? And then everything snowballed after that in the next 48 hours.
Well, and a couple in Columbia, to keep them kind of into the picture here, as a university, they did that pretty early, too. Now, they're right in the heart of New York City, where you're seeing a massive outbreak of this over the last, you know, week and a half. But they shut things down quick. They also have a huge medical facility there and a very renowned one. And so you're seeing a lot of stuff coming out of Columbia over the last week and a half. But, you know, Dave, you mentioned the Ivy League doesn't have a ton of, you know, emphasis on sports, but they know what's going on. And they have their finger on the beat of a lot of things going on around the world. And when they were pulling the trigger on this stuff, they were getting laughed at. And then mere hours later, suddenly everyone was falling in line. They know what's going on, and they saw what was developing, and they knew that public gatherings were going to have to stop. And so that's why they weren't kicking the can down the road about delaying or closing off to fans or anything like that. They knew where this was heading, and that's why we're talking right now about all this and not about any games.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's – those that think it was the biggest overreaction ever, or is it, you know, if that's the case, then it's terrible for the economy if it ends up being an overreaction. But it's good in terms of, well, at least a bunch of people didn't get sick or die.
I hope that when we emerge out of this, whenever that might be, that we do hear that people believe that doing all this was an overreaction, because it means it worked. Like, it means that what right now, with no, with no way to treat this, this is the best attack to this. And that is keeping away from each other and not and limiting exposure and contact to each other. And if that can help stop the spread of this and we're able to get out of this sooner rather than later, then, yeah, you'll hear a lot of people say that we shouldn't have done this. But if it happens, it's because this was the best way to go and it worked. So, I mean, there's still so much that is we don't know coming up tomorrow or next week or next month. But this is the best line of defense we got right now is doing this. And it sucks because we're a very social group of species. And taking sports away, we all live off of that. And it really hurts. But if this helps stop this and save people's lives, then, yeah, it's going to be absolutely 1,000% worth it.
Yeah,
the one question that people.
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to say the one thing people, we've never done this before. We've had plenty of things that have happened. That's what I'm concerned about is the very fact we have people right now that have, that I know personally have lost jobs, lost money. We have people in sports that are maybe basically freelancers, don't have money coming in. We have a lot of situations like that going on. And my concern is, people are talking a good game now. I'm just going to be blunt because I love those people. They talk a good game now. Bath and Body Works, for example, we're going to pay our employees. But the issue becomes if this is a short-term thing, that'll be great that they pay their employees. But how long do you pay your employees when there's no, and then if you're a small business, how do you pay employees when you don't have money coming in?
Yeah, Bath & Body Works is an interesting example, Dave. Their sister companies with Victoria's Secret, and they've been struggling financially over the last couple of years. So that's an interesting example you chose. I don't know if you knew that, but you probably did. So that'll be interesting to see. It just doesn't bankrupt those guys.
Well, there's no answers right now. You're right. We haven't experienced anything like this in our generation. I mean, you're talking about World War II style stuff that is being put in place around the globe right now. And if you want to equate it to disease, then it was the Spanish flu. This was the last time that things were happening like this. And that was in 1918. We don't know what any of this is going to look like. And it is concerning. I mean, Not to put a spotlight a little bit on me here, but you're talking to one of those freelancers you were just referring to,
right,
David. Like, I mean, my game check stopped last Wednesday. And so, yeah, I'm concerned. A lot of people are in the same boat that I'm in right now. And I think everyone is very much on edge as to what things might look like moving forward. And that's why I think every single person right now in this country is hoping for a lot of understanding here and some agreements from the folks in charge. Whatever side of the aisle you're on, we need everything to come together here quick, because there are a lot of people that don't quite know what things are going to look like in not too long from now, and the best thing that we can do right now as citizens of Greenville or the state or the country is take care of yourself, because if you do that, then you're taking care of the people around you. It's a weird place we're in where closing yourself off from the public is doing the public good, but that's where we're at. And once we get through that, then hopefully we can figure out the other side of the coin, which is where we all sit as in the financial side of things and in the economy, because we just don't know.
And then you guys, I don't know if you've seen tonight, talking about the financial side of things and hoping that the politicians help the economic stimulus package that Trump was proposing did not go through, whatever it goes through first, guys, House, Senate, House, did not make it through the House. They're going to have to revise that. It'll get through. It'll pass. It has to. I would think it would take no more than a week to 2 weeks. They can't be overly stubborn on this.
something will get passed in that regard. It's just what the specifics are going to look like. And that is, again, kind of the tug of war that has existed for a long, long time in this country is debating all that stuff. So
the problem is we've tried that before a couple times, Democrat presidents, Republican presidents. The problem you're going to run into is that not to be, I'll just make this point and not get into political discussion, but the problem you have with this whole situation is it puts more money on the debt of the country, and it really is just a Band-Aid when it comes to that. We're talking, if we're looking at, yes, it's nice to get a check, and yes, or a couple of checks, anything will be great and greatly appreciated. But if you're looking for big picture, when you're looking at how am I going to pay the bills, and I would love to go out and get another job, but the jobs aren't there, I think it's going to be, in other words, a Band-Aid on a really big problem, and you need a lot more money than what they're proposing.
Yeah, Dave, I think one thing that's going to probably need to be done if things go on long enough, and then we're going to get into the political objective here, but, you know, back during World War II, coming out, you know, we weren't too many years coming out of the Great Depression when World War II happened, and what provided jobs coming out of the Great Depression was the government, you know, expanding the highway system and things like that. It may take, it's clear right now we have a medical supply shortage in this country, and it just made this to be aware of it. So, you know, it may take the government to open up a few plants that are government owned and operated to make medical supplies for the next 12 months to get the country up to a par with medical supplies, and that's jobs for a bunch of people until industry comes back around.
Well, and Dave, you're right. Whatever happens here over the next few days, and hopefully it doesn't take much longer than that, because we've had everybody in the government debating for a week now about what this should look like, and we didn't get anything through this past week. Right now, a Band-Aid is kind of what we need at the moment, and then work on the big stuff as we get hopefully a clearer picture as to what things are going to look like. But, yeah, Band-Aid doesn't help in the long term, but it does in the short term, and I think, unfortunately, there's the buzzword again. Unfortunately, a Band-Aid is needed at the moment.
I'm just thinking, well, my thing is, what I'm saying is, that when you pull the trigger, and I understand the greater good and all that, I don't think they understand, and they can say they do, I don't think they understand the domino effect that it's going to continue to have, and hopefully,
for sure.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm concerned about, especially with sports. If you don't have a job, there's no way you can afford to go to ball games, and we're not in the particular, when it comes to East Carolina, going back to us, I'm just really worried because there's a lot of folks that were, you know, talking about, for example, we have budget problems. We have things that really need to.
I'll tell you something interesting, David. John Gilbert said the other day on the chat with him, I don't know if you didn't see it. He said, we're actually saving money right now. He said, but
because
having,
of all the, yep, no travel for spring. Oh,
that's right. He
money.
Said, so okay. We're good right now. We need to sell some football tickets.
Yeah, the biggest thing that came out of that Q&A from John on Friday to me was how important it was where if you are in a spot where you can to donate to the Pirate Club, like he issued that out a few times in that chat where and not everyone's going to be in that spot, especially now with where everything sits at the moment. But if you were a baseball or softball season ticket holder, and instead of refunding the rest of your games, you can take that money and send it to the Pirate Club. Or if you can put down start a payment plan for football season tickets now, and you don't have to pay all at once. If you're in a spot where you can do that, then it's greatly appreciated. That was pretty clearly laid out from John Gilbert on Friday, but you're right. It's going to be a challenge, not just in the next week, but in the next year. Like, it's going to be a very different environment, not just around East Carolina, but everywhere with everything that's happening right now.
And of course, the shorter. And hopefully I'm right, in the next month or so, things will calm down where people will come to their senses and say, okay, we dodged a bullet and let's start getting back. And I hope that my prayer is that we're not like really keeping this thing going into July and August. Like
well,
we're hearing
on the amount of cases, Dave. I don't think anybody wants to. I mean, I think it's going to solely depend on the amount of cases. I think, if 2 weeks from now the cases are a quarter of what they thought they were going to be, then you can probably see this thing coming to an end pretty soon. But if a month from now cases are still climbing and they're still doubling every day, then, you know, things are going to keep, unfortunately, being postponed, canceled, and we're going to keep living in the twilight zone.
I'm ultimately concerned about the ultimate impact, but we're not going to know the answer tonight on that. I will tell you, gentlemen, that since we have no sports, I know that all four of us can agree on music.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up something before we get off sports, Dave. Corey,
okay.
I don't know if you realize this. I mentioned it to the guys. I mentioned it actually to John in that live chat, and it was never related to it. If everything goes as planned and the game is played as scheduled, with Notre Dame and Navy mm-hmm. playing in Ireland, East Carolina Marshall will likely be the first major college event played on American soil since the coronavirus outbreak.
Yep, it will be. And when I chatted with Commissioner Rusko when I was filling in for Patrick earlier this week, and he highlighted that the American might be in the spotlight if and when college sports gets back up and running here come August, where it's Navy out in Ireland and then the Marshall game here. And so now we all got to do our part, what we can, to work to getting to that point. And it's been reiterated time and time again over the last couple of weeks what needs to be done, at least at our level, to do that. And now it's I sincerely hope that a lot of people are taking that seriously and not wandering out and trying to do a bunch of stuff to keep things as normal as they can, because we're not in normal times, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's kind of a situation to compare that to a little bit is back in 2007 when the Pirates opened the season at Virginia Tech. Obviously,
right.
folks were tuned in to see in that ball game because of the tragedy that had happened that previous April.
Yeah, I mean it would be unique for sure, and I hope that is the case. Or when August 29th. Rolls around, or I think that's the date, forgive me, it feels like a decade ago since things have happened, but
that's correct.
Yeah, when that date rolls around, then we're at Dowdy Ficklin and we're watching college football and the nation's joining. I think everybody wants that to be the case, no question about it.
No doubt. And normally during this time of the extra innings, which we don't have that, no innings I guess it is right now, we have movie lines, but we can't do movie lines because we don't have.
I can't really utilize those.
Yeah.
So,
you know, like I was thinking about that over the weekend. I was like, when we're talking to Corey, we won't have any movie lines. So, one of the things that I've done, so maybe we can wrap up the show with you on that, is certainly the what have you been doing when there's no sports? So, I happened to walk by in a big box store yesterday, gentlemen, and one there is in Greenville, but they actually have a portable turntable. So I bought that for $44. It's a company, Crossley. I have a huge turntable, LP vinyl collection, and I actually taught my kids today about a turntable, about a needle on a record.
Were you scratching?
What's that?
Were you scratching?
No, that's not my style. That's Kyle from LaGrange. You're the superstar, not me. I was just playing records and having fun with the kids tonight, so for about an hour. So they learned about some more old artists they've never heard of, and they learned about putting the needle on the record. So what about you guys? What have you been doing? Kyle actually got some exercise today. I was happy to hear about that. Right, Kyle?
Yeah, Dave. I, me and, me and, me and, the hell of a business.
You got outside.
Yeah, well, we'll take that off the air, Dave. But me and my wife went outside and played horse. So I was expecting to see it on the ESPN bottom line that Kyle and Jeff going to get a horse. So we did that today. But mostly I've been passing my time, guys. I hate to say it. I've been on my damn phone a lot on Facebook. Me and a friend of mine will just send stories about the coronavirus back and forth all day long. It's like I get bad anxiety. I have medical anxiety. Get a little personal note there. And medical stuff freaks me the hell out. And it feels like the only way I can control it is just to consume information on it. And it's probably very unhealthy. But that's kind of how I've been passing my time. Just information, and then, music. I Dave was talking about with the turntables and records. I've been, I'm always listening to a lot of outlaw country and Texas country. And then, kind of getting into a little, last night I was kind of in a different mood. I was actually listening to a little Lord, dropping back to 2013 there with her first album. So
you're going way back, Kyle.
Yeah, oh, way back, baby, way back to 2013. it's kind of weird, Dave. There's certain music that's classic. You listen to music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s, it's classic, whereas something from 2013 doesn't seem classic. It just seems old.
My initial question is, I applaud the choice there, but I feel like we haven't heard from Lord ever since that debut album. And that's
weird. Right.
It's very good. It's good music.
That's a great question. Maybe she's just went back to New Zealand and living life as a Kiwi. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, Corey, I know you like, so I guess one question if we're talking about music, and Bubba's kind of like Kyle with basketball. He knows a lot more than he lets on. But anyway, the
David's taking shots at me left and
I know.
Right.
These are not.
What the hell, man?
I'm not taking shots at
Dave.
No. I'm giving you a compliment.
Dave, you might want to have a neighborhood watcher be peeking out your window. You might have a visitor here about 11:30 or something.
He's in Martin County. I mean, I'll just call some of my family there from Jamesville. Just a little drive, no problems.
I know. I actually have. I'm not taking shots. I'm giving you a compliment in that you know a lot about basketball. You pretend you don't like the sport, but you pretend to not know anything about it
I know the game. I'm just basketball is my least favorite sport, and that's just I would rather watch football or baseball than basketball. But in terms of knowing the game, yeah, I know the game.
But anyway, I was going to say as far as. Music is concerned, Corey, I know you like more, you're more of a classic rock guy, right? Is that, you and I relate that, right?
We do share a love of classic rock. I wouldn't say that's my main genre, but I am a fan of it, yeah.
Yeah, because
what do you listen to, Corey?
Well, I guess I would qualify it as, I have fallen into kind of an alternative rock over the last few years, but also, ever since I moved to North Carolina, a little bit of folk music has actually trickled into my bones a bit.
Music? I got an artist for you. A guy named Chris Knight. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not familiar with Chris Knight, no.
Chris Knight, he's a guy from Kentucky. He mixes in kind of a bluesy rock, country, folk kind of hybrid. Kind of mumbles when he sings, a little Bob Dylan-ish.
I mumble when I call games, you're talking to the right guy. Blues rock, that's very much up my alley. Nathaniel Rateliff is my guy right now and has been my guy for a few years, and I've been listening to a lot of his recent solo album. If you don't know who that is, I'd give it the highest of recommendations. But he's kind of blues rock. There's a little bit of folk twang in there as well.
What's his name?
Nathaniel Rateliff.
Okay, I'll check him out.
Big fan.
What about you, Bubba? You listen to music. What do you like?
You know, I listen to a variety, but what I listen to the most is country, and then also and contemporary Christian. I love the blues as well.
Not being able to, I mean, there are a lot of things about the fact that this season ended so abruptly that just they kill me. And over time, we'll get back to normal here a little bit. But I'll tell you what, those Thursdays when we arrive in New Orleans and Memphis, and after getting some work done, I'd go out and go catch a little live music. Ooh. And they were on the books this year, but we have more important things to worry about.
Yeah, former East Carolina.
You go ahead, Bob.
Oh, I was just saying, former East Carolina head coach Steve Logan, he's a huge fan of the Blues, and so
in his
weekly show that he has now in Raleigh, that's what he, of course, in the bumper music, I guess. Typically the Blues.
When I was asked, filling in for Patrick, what music I wanted to open the show, I gave him Nathaniel Rateless. And so if you tuned in this past weekend, that's what started off each show, was Nathaniel Rateless.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that now that I think about it. But it's one of those things where that's another industry, concerts. People aren't going to go to that, so people are shuffling around. I've even seen what's kind of cool. They've making a little lemonade out of the lemons they've been dealt. Some artists are actually playing songs, or at least a song, and they're putting it on Facebook. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not.
Or doing Instagram live concerts. Yeah.
So Brad Paisley, he did about a 40-minute set. Jamie Johnson, I saw him doing a set. And concerts are being rescheduled, guys. So, you know. I had tickets for Cody Jinks and Fayetteville for March 20th. It was rescheduled for June. But will they have to change the date again? I had tickets for Jamie Johnson and Whiskey Myers in Raleigh for May 6th. It's been rescheduled for October 26th. So it'll be interesting to see if these dates, to be sure the October date will hold. But, you know, with the June date, if that's going to have to be scheduled for a second time.
Yeah, I mean, I think now you're looking at summer events and wondering what the status of that is. I mean, now the biggest one, I mean, the MLB draft is of curiosity to me and what they decide to do with that in June. But we're seeing now a ton of smoke around postponing the Olympics, and that's the big one. Like, and that's end of July. If we're still at a point where they can't hold an Olympics in Japan at the end of July, then we got to work a little bit harder with what we're doing.
Well, you know, they have to have a 2 months. They've got to make a decision by what is it, 2 months out?
Well, I think they're giving themselves 4 weeks from this point, because it's a huge operation. I mean, and so you got to make a call early enough. But I get why they're holding to trying to do it as scheduled, because it's such a massive operation. And there's a ton of money that gets poured into that, both creating it and then running it. Now you're seeing U.S. teams say they're not going to go, and Team Canada just a few, like right before we started taping, said they're not sending anybody, any team.
Before we got on the phone with you, Corey, me and Bubba were talking to Bubba, help me out, man. You know how I am with names.
Jason Romano from the Sports Spectrum podcast, and then also formerly, he's been a long time at ESPN, producing the Mike and Mike and a lot of other shows.
Yeah, we were talking to him, and he was talking about that very thing, about how, you know, the decisions made to still have it, even. You're going to have so many countries that aren't able to practice and prepare properly, so they're not going to send teams. So even if they have it, it may be very limited.
Well, it was. I think it was pretty clear once when we go back to, I don't know, feels like it was in the 80s, but it was just a week ago, when the call to close the doors for March Madness was made and still play it. But then Kansas and Duke both said that they weren't playing any spring sports before the calls we made to cancel March Madness. It was kind of one of those similar thing happening right now with the Olympics, where, oh, they'll have it, but if the United States and Canada don't come, then are you wise really going down the path of still trying to operate it? So that's the next one. We'll see what happens with that. I hope it happens. because that means we're in a good spot. That means we're in a better spot than we are right now. But if it doesn't, I'm not surprised.
Interesting note from Romano, Corey. China's going to restart their professional basketball leagues. They've announced a restart date. I can't remember what it is, but it is in April. But they're going to do it initially for the first few games with no crowd.
Right.
So that's interesting. Good to see them feeling like they can start getting back to normal. Hopefully that's a good sign for us.
Yeah, their number of cases have actually gone. The good news is the season
starting to dwindle. Yeah.
Yeah, starting to go down. So hopefully that's a good sign for not to take it not seriously. I'm just saying that there's hope there that they were a little bit ahead of us, obviously. With
yeah, and they completely shut everything down. I mean, you know, and God knows what you can trust coming out of their
exactly.
opinion and their government. But I saw images of what kind of scares me is I saw citizens walking down the street in hazmat suits. I don't know about y'all, but I couldn't go to Target and buy a hazmat suit.
No.
That's going to be the new trend. Instead of T-shirt and jeans, you're going to be wearing a hazmat suit down the street.
Yeah. Just pulling up through your local Bojangles in a hazmat suit.
In LaGrange.
Hey, look. There's no cases, Dr. Wood, in Lenora, Greene County. I live on the Lenora, Greene County line. There's no cases in either one of these counties.
And none in Martin.
I'm going to take full credit. I built a force field around the Lenora, Greene County, and Dave, I used to live in Martin County, so you're welcome.
Yeah, and also the fact that there's probably going to be a murder after the show, so there might be a murder in Martin County, but there's not a but there's not a case of the coronavirus, so we have our priorities straight, right? So,
watch your
yeah,
you find the silver linings where you can at this point.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Corey, I guess before we let you go, man, what are you up to? We know that you're not filling in, I guess, for Patrick Johnson next week. So are you going fishing? I mean, what are you doing to kill time?
I am doing what is being asked. I am staying put. I am rarely leaving my place unless I need to. And I am diving into a lot of shows on Hulu and your various streaming choices. I'm watching a show called Terriers now from FX. Very good. I'm trying to stay a little bit active. Bubba knows this. I've seen a few intriguing things outside my apartment window over the last couple of days. in which it started with there were.
What
like
does she look like, Corey?
Hey! I saw a group of kids playing lacrosse about a week ago, and I went out to the balcony and I started kind of calling that silently to myself. And then a guy was walking around on Tuesday night with just spinning a sword around. There's no one else around him, and it didn't seem like a real sword because he kept grabbing the blade. So he wasn't spinning it very well. And then a family of
four.
Hey,
Corey, just don't piss him off, Corey. Just don't piss him off.
No, I want him on my side, it appears. And then a family of four a few days ago was out, kind of out in the grass area in front of my apartment having a Nerf gun fight. So Nerf is back in the fold, which is good to see.
Maybe you can call that, right?
Yeah, and then I'm just sitting on my balcony and just calling that. So, I'm doing my best to stay where I need to be, and that is inside here and separated from the public as much as I can. And if I need to get a stretch in or go out for a run, I'll go do that. But I'm staying put.
Are you cooking, Corey? Or are you getting out?
Yeah. Oh, I'm cooking. I will be doing some takeout here and there, especially for the local businesses here, because that's vital if you can. But no, I'm not terrible in terms of cooking. I baseball games do lend to weird hours, and so there will be a lot of drive-through trips after baseball games. But I can handle cooking. I know my way around a kitchen pretty decently.
All right.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
I just throw in a pizza. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you talk all that up. Frozen pizza.
No,
around a kitchen.
I whipped up a lemon garlic butter shrimp pasta earlier tonight that I was. Yeah, I did.
From scratch? From scratch. Yeah, I'm like a Marie Callender's thing.
No, from scratch. I didn't like make the pasta, but I made everything else from scratch. I threw a little zucchini in there too for color and health purposes. Oh,
nice. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The things you learn on this podcast.
Yeah,
man,
don't
judge
a book by its cover. Yeah, I can whip some stuff up.
Sounds good.
Hey, you can have a new show, Cooking with Corey.
Cooking with Corey.
Maybe I'm going to whip up some chili early, later this week. Yeah.
You know what, Corey? I bet if you did that, you'd be the voice of the Pirates. And right now, with the voice of Pirate Baseball, no disrespect to Charles Song, the voice of the Pirates. But if you did that right now, and you put it on social media, did videos of you cooking, with you
that would
calling
be huge.
It as you did it, I bet you Pirate fans would watch it like crazy.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. That's not a bad idea. Except when you're making chili, there's not a lot to call. You just let it. You just let it cook. Let it
be. You gotta put your ground beef in there.
You gotta brown the beef.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll consider that. Yeah.
Put a garlic in a, bam. A little emerald out.
Well, hey Dave, I know
maybe
one of your first
maybe
guests.
That way you could use the movie lines there.
That's right.
Well, Corey,
Dave,
thank you so much. Man. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, one of your first guests on this show was Bob Garner, right? So, Corey's cooking skills. Bob Garner.
There you
go.
You
have to enlighten Corey to who Bob Garner is.
Yeah, I was about to say Corey probably doesn't know who Bob Garner is.
no idea, unfortunately.
Bob
There's
is actually
again,
lives.
Sorry.
He lives in the Greenville area,
yes.
And he actually is a huge star on PBS on North Carolina this weekend.
North Carolina, yeah. And he does,
on Friday, it first shows on Friday night, but it shows all throughout, obviously, the weekend. And he goes and reviews restaurants across the state. Only
you
the ones
what?
That he likes.
Been doing it for
years. I have seen that show actually recently, and the name didn't click. I was flipping channels over the weekend, and I saw it pop up. I know who that is.
Yeah, so he does it anyway. Thanks, man, for being on so much. And how can people follow you for, I'm sure a lot of people listening to it
For Cooking with Corey and my various witty tweets to come. At Corey Glore is where you can find me. And again, since this is sadly, we aren't talking baseball again, this is my thanks to you three, and my thanks to everyone who has listened and is listening to this and listened to games over the course of this abrupt season. I really appreciate it, and I wish I could be bringing you a lot more, but we have things we need to take care of here as a community and as a population first, so let's get that taken care of, and then we'll be talking baseball sooner rather than later.
All right, and hopefully people will send you pictures of their dogs and to keep you company.
Oh, yeah, keep the good dog, good day coming. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man, have a good night, and hopefully we'll see some videos of you cooking very soon, and we'll talk to you soon.
Guys, take care. Always appreciate the time. Stay healthy.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.